Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanako Oberhuber, and I'm your host. My guest today is Parm Sagu. Hi.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. So let's go into this interview. It's going to be a little shorter for all listeners so that you know, but we will do our best to go really deep and get all the main points covered, even if it's shorter, because Sagu had a meeting, so she could come a little later. So that's why we're going to... Oh, Parm Sagu, sorry. Or do you want to just Parm? Should I just say Parm?
Just Parm.
Okay, perfect. So, how did you come to see the world the way you do today?
It was a journey, really. I mean, starting off, you know, I had the same type of worldviews that I think everyone has, right? We think the world is a specific way. And, you know, I lived my life thinking that, you know, the whole world was like, nobody really cared about my individual situation, right? Nobody really cared about what I was going through, you know, throughout every single day. And I just went through my life feeling very, very alone at every step of my journey. And it really wasn't until I took steps to, you know, try to fill my own cup that I started to see things differently. I mean, I spent, like, before I got into that, before I made that change, like, I spent my entire life and all my time waiting for someone to notice me and notice that, you know, I needed something, that I wasn't very happy, that, you know, I needed that attention, but it never really came. It never came at all, actually. And it wasn't until I made that change and I started making decisions based on what I wanted in my heart that started to change. And so when I did that, when I made those changes, when I quit my job, when I went on this entire spiritual journey, that's when I started to get reconnected with myself. That's when my entire view of the world started to change. You know, I used to view the world as a very unkind place, a very selfish, very money-minded place, you know, a place that only cared about money and efficiency and being better. And, you know, nobody really cared about me and my individual journey. And, you know, going on the spiritual path and having this deep dive, and it was like a metamorphosis. That's really what changed it, because all of those they're just ideas in the mind, right? And if you can change that, then everything changes. Your entire life changes without you even really, you know, making any tangible changes. I mean, you are making changes, but it's what happens inside that matters.
Wow, that's a really clear synopsis of what happened and how you came to see the world differently. And I think that's very beautiful that you also see this as a decision within you that changed everything.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, we spend our entire lives waiting for people to give to us. But it's only when you start to give to yourself that you can really embrace the fact that nobody can give to you the way that you want, right? Nobody can fill up your cup. You have to fill it yourself. And it is, you know, there's a mix of emotions here. There's a little bit of sadness, like, oh, nobody can love me in that way. But then there's also empowerment, like, well, I can do it for myself. And if I can do it for myself, I can do it right now. You know, I don't need the world to kind of look at me and give me that validation. I can give it to myself, right? I can know that I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I can do what I want to do. You know, it's not that I have to follow these societal structures. It's more that I can follow my heart and I can do what feels right to me. And you know, absolutely, there's a mix of emotions here, but at the end of it, it's empowerment, right? You are empowered to live your life the way that you want to. And you know, not everyone around me, if I'm being completely honest, not everyone around me agreed with all of my choices. Like, I graduated university and I decided that I don't want to do anything, that I was just going to go travel. Like, how many parents would be like, oh, that's a great choice, you know? Not many. And when I did come back, I worked for 6 months and I quit that job because it just didn't resonate with me. And again, I was in the same situation, but I had to give to me, right? I had to listen to me because nobody else would. Nobody was going to tell me like, Harm, it's okay to quit your job after 6 months and follow your heart and be essentially without any income for, you know, who knows how long. Right, in the market that we're in today, like, those are just things that don't happen. But if when you listen to that inner voice, that inner calling, I mean, those are the things, like, these are the transformations that you undergo, and the result of it is that you end up in a place where you are happy, right? You like waking up every day, you like what you do, and your values are different. You don't value like the hustle culture, you don't value things that don't fill your cup, right? You don't value things that society tells you you need to value because they tell you you need to value them. You may value the same things, but for your own reasons. And that's the way that you do fill your cup, right? That's the way that you change your perspective, by listening to yourself, right? So often our perspective is defined by what the people around us say, what media is saying, what people that we view as authority figures are saying. But no, your values and your worldviews need to be based on what you believe in, what you truly and deeply believe in. Otherwise, who are you living for? What are you living for? You're not making yourself happy, and there is no way you can make the people around you happy permanently, right? I mean, happiness comes from within. It doesn't matter what the people around us do.
Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. So, yes, happiness comes from within. That's a beautiful insight. And yeah, it doesn't matter what people around me do. Okay, it doesn't change your happiness if the happiness comes from within, but it does change what you will do about it.
Yeah, there's something very beautiful that my guru says, my teacher, and he says that, you know, if you're content, then you have everything, right? I mean, think about that. The one who is content, regardless what the people around him or her think, this person has everything because they're not wanting anything. And it's in that state that you start to really appreciate life, that you start to embrace the gratitude for what you have. And in that state, that's when things start to come to you, right? Without even asking, things just come and show up in your life and enrich your life in so many ways. And where that starts is contentment, right? Letting go of this idea of, I have to do this, I need to do this, I need to be over there, I need to be going, going, going all the time. I mean, it's not about that, right? It's about pausing and seeing that you already have everything that you need.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And of course, in Miracles, it speaks of the holy relationship and the special relationship. In the holy relationship, you're reminding each other that you're already whole. And in the special relationship, yeah, you can imagine what's going on, right? I don't even have to spell it out, I think. So I'll ask another question. And so being on this journey leads to a understanding that joy comes from within, that you are the one in charge, that you know what's best for you by listening to the voice within you. And
hey, I'm not sure what happened. Am I still in the call?
You are here. Yeah. Here.
Okay, my phone just linked at me, and so it's not showing me. Sorry about that.
So you can turn on your video again.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Okay. No, it froze for a moment.
Okay. Where were we? The relationships, yes. Yes, you know what? I'm gonna kind of step back here and talk a little bit about my journey a bit more and kind of expand into this, right? The relationship with self and the relationship with everything. So, you know, my journey of getting here really consisted of yoga, right? Yoga and diving deep into these ancient principles and learning about meditation and breath work and how to go inwards and create that relationship with yourself. And, you know, fast forwarding a whole many, many years, you start to see that your relationship with yourself is your relationship with everything, right? I mean, if you have that love for yourself, if you have that feeling, then that's reflected towards everyone else, right? If you have that peace within you and that relationship, I mean, there's no way that you can be violent towards other people, right? There's so many principles in yoga that, you know, that are about your relationship with yourself and which are reflected in the world around you, right? And so when we talk about like these relationships, right, the special and the, I forgot what the other one that you said was, but.
Holy.
The holy, right, the holy. I mean, you can even say that the relationship that you have with yourself is that holy relationship, right? If you start to consider some of the things that you hear in these scriptures is that, you know, there is one consciousness, we are all one. And so, you know, any resistance you have towards anyone, right, in any form, like that might be an anger, it might be jealousy or regret or hatred or whatever, any of these emotions, I mean, that is in you only, right? If you have conflict with someone, it's because there's something happening inside of you, right? And that relationship needs to be harmonious for you and your relationship with yourself and that holy relationship to also be harmonious. I mean, it's kind of a different level of thinking, right? It's much, much deeper, and it's very beautiful the way that it really works. And I know that in my journey, every single time that I've made peace with something inside me, that peace has shown up around me as well.
Yeah, I think it's very important to be aware of where things originate, right? Where the cause is. And in the Course in Miracles, it says the cause is in the mind. It's not, so the way you see the world is dependent on what's going on in your mind. Doesn't mean that the world is who you are or what's going on in your mind is who you are, because that's determined by source from your creator. But it certainly shows up as if it were real. And so remembering who we truly are, and I think that's where you turn to recognizing there is the option of having a holy relationship, right? That is really amazing that you've made that step and you are going in that direction and deepening it and sharing it with us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that you brought up the mind, because this is one of my favorite topics. I've spent the past couple years learning about the mind and how to really navigate that landscape, because it is very different than, you know, the landscape that we're familiar with. And, you know, it's not something that you can deal with directly, right? Because it's intangible. And so there are other methods that you need to use. And so you're absolutely right, right? Like, dealing with the mind will help you deal with yourself, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with the world around you, and your relationship to that something that is higher, right? And actually, I am such a fanatic about yoga. Like, I love yoga so much, because in the philosophy, when you look at the philosophy, it actually tells you exactly what is inside you, like what is the structure of yourself, right? So when you ask yourself questions like, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? What am I meant to be doing? You can find the answers in these scriptures. And so something that they say is that, you know, the self or the universal consciousness and your body, right? You can look at it as an ocean. I love this analogy. the surface of the ocean would be everything that we see around us, right? The physical world. And the bottom of the ocean is who you are at your core. This is, you know, the higher self. This is God. This is that universal consciousness. It's that, you know, this is where grace comes from, right? It filters up through all these layers. And what stands in between, you know, us over here at the surface and, you know, the universe essentially down here is all of this stuff in between it. It's in the mind, right? You can pretty much group all of this into the mind, right? The mind is what prevents you from embodying your full self. Or if you remember, we just said that, you know, there is only one consciousness. And if there is only one, that must mean we are all the same, right? This has been said in all scriptures. There is only one. So I would say it's pretty pretty reliable information. And so we are all just one at the base of who we are, at our core, at our innermost reality. We are one. And the only thing that stands between that oneness and what we see in the mirror is the mind, right? And so learning how to deal with the mind, learning how to look at it and to manage its tendencies, that is what will bring you back to yourself, right? And when I say manage its tendencies, you know, yoga philosophy will tell you that there are five things that the mind does, only five. At all times, there are only five things that the mind does. And through the practices given in this lifestyle, you can start to quiet the mind and bring it back to center. You can start to find that inner peace and, you know, really come back to yourself and who you are, right? Like, come back to that feeling of who you are when you're at peace, when you're happy, when you're not wanting anything, when you're free of cravings and aversions. That's who you are, right? That peaceful, blissful, joyful, expansive version of you. And how do you get back to that? There are many, many practices, right? There are many paths as well, as you know, as you've been exploring here. And it's a matter of discipline and practice.
Yeah, and of course in Miracles it speaks of mind training. So anyways, just to put that in there. So yeah. And of course in Miracles there's only two emotions, love and fear. And fear is not real, right? It comes from a false interpretation of things. So I don't know what you would like to share about that.
So in yoga philosophy, they talk about the energy, right? So if you look at this, if you look back at the structure that I was talking about, there is actually seven layers, right? And so the first is the body, the second is the breath. And the breath is actually this energy layer, right? So beyond the body, there is your energy. And this is what I'm sure you've heard about chakras and kundalini and all of these things. And so they actually exist. And this is one step deeper, let's say, of yourself. And when you look at emotions, they show up as sensations in the body, right? When you feel full of love, you feel it pretty much all over your body. It's centered in the heart. So is fear. So is hatred, actually centered in the heart. And what these energies are is just the movement of your life force energy. So actually, emotions, I was talking about this earlier today, actually, it's really funny that it came up again. But emotions are just labels that we've put onto sensations that we feel in our body. And so, you know, you can have, if you think of this as the body now, you have the upward flow of energy, which shows up at different energy centers as different emotions. And then you also have the downward flow, which shows up as, you know, the spiraling negative emotions that come down, you know, come down in the body, and we feel them in our bodies. And so when you say that there are two, love and hate, I mean, you can equate that to kind of saying there's the upward motion and then there's the downward motion. And in that motion, there's the manifestation of that energy in different sensations that we equate to, you know, let's say the third eye. The third eye in the upward motion is awareness. On the way down is anger. I mean, when you feel angry, where do you feel it? In your forehead, right? You feel like you feel it right there. And then, you know, here is gratitude and grief, and then you can go down and go through all the chakras and you start to experience that. But it's a very, very tangible thing. And it's a beautiful, it's beautiful that they've laid it out this way, because you can start to separate the emotion and the sensation. If you observe the sensation of any emotion, you can start to separate away from it, and you'll see that that emotion dissolves and it goes away. There's a lot to be said here. I feel like it's I feel like I'm just kind of touching the, you know, the surface of the ocean here. There's so much. There's just so much. I'll stop here though.
Yeah, that's very, very deep things to talk about. Yes. And yeah, we can go through the chakras if that's of interest, but let's say we go deeper into this, into your practices, into the way you come to this view of loving the world, loving yourself, because the world and yourself are one, as you were already saying, right? There's no difference. So if you can't love the world, you can't love yourself. And if you can't love yourself, you can't love the world. If you can't love both totally, right? If you can't love all totally, you're not experiencing the love, right? So it's, as we know, when we're in a happy thing, actually everything appears happy to be happy, right? When we're unhappy, we think everything is unhappy, right? So it's quite interesting to see that the state of mind you're in or where you are at influences your interpretation of your experience, so you come up with something totally different, and it has nothing to do with what's going on. So in A Course in Miracles, it says things like, in some of the lessons, like, I don't know what anything is for, right?
Absolutely. So this is interesting, because it, you know, something came up for me to share. And when you do these practices, right, you start to go deep into your mind, right? This ocean, I'm going to come back to this over and over again, this ocean analogy. You know, the more that you do these practices, the deeper down that you dive, right? Because you want, the goal, of course, is to get to the self, right? The self, or the universe, God, the one consciousness, whatever you refer to it as. That is the goal of all of these practices and all spiritual paths, right? To go from ignorance to light. And so the more that you practice, the deeper into the mind that you get, the deeper into your consciousness. And what you find is exactly this, right? It is your self-limiting beliefs, is your self-limiting patterns and perceptions. And in yoga philosophy, we call that the ego, right? And the ego, ego doesn't necessarily have to mean someone who's egotistical. It can be the opposite, right? You can also think, well, I'm no good at this. I'm no good at anything. I'm always like this. I'm such a failure, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, like there's so many labels that you can put onto yourself. And just like you said, these labels define everything. They define how you see the world, how you interact with the world. They color your perception positively or negatively. And so when you start to work in this layer, so many, many things happen. One, you start to see traumas and stresses and deep-rooted emotions start to bubble up to the surface. This is so that they can be released, right? All of these things will come up so that they can leave your system and leave you free. And after you have released them, you see that your entire worldview changes, right? I kind of hinted at this in the beginning when I said, you know, you can make these changes, and without really tangibly changing the things around you, everything will change, right? And that seems like a very contradictory thing to say, but it's true. Like, I still live in the same house that I did when I was in university, but I'm a completely different person. And it's because I've been doing that inner work. I've been unwinding the layers of my consciousness through yoga, through breath work, through meditation, so that I can be free, right? And a lot of people, a lot of cultures, a lot of popular social media accounts will talk about enlightenment, and without really understanding what it is. And so enlightenment is the freedom from all of the things in the mind. That's all it is. You know, as simple as that sounds, it's also very, very difficult, because you know, your life, our lives, they're more than just this lifetime, right? Just this body. This body lives for what, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever years. I mean, this is a drop in the ocean of what your life is, right? I think about things like past life regression. I mean, this will take you back into quote unquote past lives, right? And in yoga philosophy, there's something called the cycle of karma. And this is the cycle of life and death. And it is in this cycle that you start to accumulate all of these things, right? We talk about, you know, if you're a good person, you go to heaven. If you're a bad person, you go to hell. The reality is that that heaven and hell is created here on this plane of being. And it is created by your own mind, right? Like, you can make your own life misery without even knowing it, just by the patterns that you have. Or on the opposite, on the other side of the coin, you can make your life an absolute paradise just by your perspective, right? And this is what happens when you start to dive in, is you start to unwind, you start to pull out all this gunk from your consciousness, and you start to become hollow and empty, right? You start to live in the moment. You start to take life as it comes without holding on to anything. And this is the power of these practices. I mean, I share these with all of my clients and with everyone I work with, because whether you believe in them or not believe, or you don't believe in them, I mean, they work, right? Like, they do the work. Obviously, if you have faith, then they're so much more powerful. But in the beginning, like, it's difficult to have, right? Like, I didn't start off believing. I just thought I was doing a physical practice. I thought I was just moving my body a certain way. And all I knew is that it brought my mind to stillness. It made me feel peaceful and at ease. And that's why I continued with it. But I didn't start off thinking, like, you know, I'm going to go sit on my mat and, excuse me, connect with God. Like, I had no idea until I got further on this path. And I'd actually argue that not everyone is ready to hear that, right? In the beginning, like, you can't start off and then sell people with, like, oh, you want to connect to God? I mean, it's not the best way to do things. Like, people, like, your intellect, which is one of these layers in between here, your intellect is at a certain level. And by refining your consciousness, you start to accept more and more of truth and what is, right? It's very interesting. It's a very interesting unfolding. And I had no idea what I was in for, to be honest. I just continued to do courses and learn practices and spend time with my guru and my teacher. And I really just let him guide me, because when I first, this is a beautiful experience that I had, but when I first met him, I hadn't even met him at that point. Actually, I was sitting in a big meditation hall. There were thousands of people. He was just coming in. I had no idea who he was. And, you know, everyone's straining to look at the door and see him. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, I have no idea what to expect. I'm like the only one who's like calm and sitting still in this massive room full of people. And then all of a sudden, there was a moment when my heart just burst open and I felt like I was home. You know, I felt like I had been searching forever. Now, I'm not 80 years old, right? But I felt like I had been searching for decades and decades and decades for this feeling, for feeling like I was at home, like I could rest, like I could finally put down my bags and just lay my head down and just completely and entirely relax. And this is the feeling of coming home, right? And a lot of things happen on this path. It is not an easy path, not at all. I mean, that is the last adjective that I would use to describe it. I actually wouldn't even use it to describe this, because you're facing your own mind, right? You're facing your own demons. You're facing the things that you've been running from for your entire life. But the thing is, you can only kick the can down the road so far. At some point, that road is going to end and you're going to have to face it. You're gonna have to do the inner work, and that's what leads you. I mean, that's what progress is about, right? Progress is about looking at yourself and sitting with yourself and accepting yourself and loving yourself despite the perceived imperfections that you have. And the truth is that you were made the way that you were made with intentionality, right? Like, you were given your good and your bad qualities. I mean, They are yours and they are beautiful the way that they are because they define you and they are divine, right? It's not just that, you know, only certain qualities are divine and other qualities are demonic. No, everything is divine. If everything is just the one consciousness, if God is everywhere, then God is also everything, right? The good and the bad.
That's a good thing to think about, right? Because good and bad is an interpretation of what's going on. So, yeah. So are we good? Are we bad? What are we? Right? It must be something else, right?
I was also having this conversation today. I love that. I love that you brought it up. You are what you perceive yourself to be, right? This is also a perception. This is a label that you're putting on yourself. You are good based on what? Based on some predefined notion that somebody gave you. Somebody told you that this is bad. Somebody told you that this is good. And therefore, you either do it or you don't do it. But I mean, everything is gray, right? There is no definite answer to that question. Who can tell you who is the static reference? If you look at this world in itself, everything is changing at all times. Everything is changing. And so what is the norm, right? I gave the same example earlier. Slavery at some point was good. It was accepted. Everyone had a slave. Now we look at slavery and think, well, hey, I mean, you know, it's a really, really bad thing. So what is quote unquote right? What is right? And the answer is that you should be spontaneous, right? Whatever the moment requires of you, you should do it. So if a child falls, you're going to run and help the child up, or you're going to pick up him or her and not think about, should I pick up that kid? What if their parents are nearby? What if nobody wants me to touch the child? Like, no, I mean, a child falls, your natural instinct is to go and help this child, right? And so it's about being spontaneous and acting in the moment without being attached to these thoughts in your head of this is good and this is bad and blah, blah, blah. And I should do this and I shouldn't do that because so-and-so is going to think whatever, or, you know, they're going to think I'm trying to kidnap. Like, no, you know, like, it's not about that. These are things that are in the mind. In reality, if you live completely and fully in the present moment, and if you take every moment as it comes, then you will never, ever have this dilemma of what is right and what is wrong. Right? Because in this dilemma, you're away from the present moment. Do you see that? I mean, if you're living, there's no space to stop and be like, should I do this or should I not do this? Because immediately you've lost that moment, right? The thing that was happening in the now, that now is in the past. And there's another now, right? Because time also is always flowing. And so it's very interesting. It's a very, very deep understanding and a different way of looking at the world.
Yeah, well, we are not who we think we are. Even if you stated that, I don't think so, at least, because otherwise what I've been thinking about myself would be true, and those thoughts are not necessarily always very kind. So no, I personally adhere to the idea that we are not who we think we are, and therefore we are. We can learn to recognize who we actually are, and that is where the calm comes from. Because the funniest thing is when you do all these practices to calm your mind or to do this or that, something bubbles up that actually feels good. So how could I be the person who was calming down and all this excitement and all this anger and whatever came up, right? That just because I was thinking that doesn't mean that I am that. So because when it feels good, and this upwelling of well-being and so on, right, feels more real than anything else. So, and it also feels like something that can be permanent. It's something you can live with at all times, right? Not that we do that, but it would be possible because you feel comfortable there. You feel at home. And feeling at home is a feeling that you can live with at all times. You would not be in the jeopardy of not wanting to be there, right? If you were able to do that, if you were able to hold on to that. And that's the big thing, is that you can't hold on to it in the sense of saying this is the only thing that has to be there, right? I can't accept anything else. But in the contrary, it's this accepting of all that gunk that you were speaking of and all this stuff that often leads to being able to have those experiences and remembering that.
Yeah, and actually, coming back to this model, you know, one of the things that they say, one of the things that yoga philosophy has given to us is an understanding of what's in between. And what they say is that if you can observe it, it is not you. So at the top here, we have the self, right? We have the body, right? The body in the physical world, right? Like, I can observe these headphones, therefore I'm not these headphones, right? I can observe my body, and therefore I am not the body. I have a body, but I am not the body. Then we have the breath, right? We know that we are not the breath. Then is the mind, right? This is where the thoughts and emotions reside. Then you have the intellect, which is the discriminatory faculty, right? All the information from the senses come here and you decide, okay, I like this, I don't like this, I want to do that, I don't want to do that, let me go there, not there. Then is the memory, right? You store information here. And then is your ego. The ego is where all of these patterns are stored, right? The patterns that we spoke about, all of these limitations, all of these labels, everything that you've defined yourself as, or everything that you haven't defined yourself as, it all lives here. And the deepest layer is the self, right? This is the infinite self. This is who you are at your core, right? If you look at all of these things, you can observe these, right? You can observe your body, you can observe your breath, you can observe your thoughts, you can observe your judging faculty, right? Part of you that says, well, I like this, I don't like this, I want to do this. You can observe your memories. You can also observe the labels that you put on yourself, right? I mean, you walk around saying, I'm Canadian, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm British, I'm, you know, whatever, wherever, anyone, any label, I'm a man, I'm a woman, anything that you label yourself as, this is not you, right? You are actually nameless and formless and beyond time and beginningless and endless, and you are that expansive joy and that bliss, and you're untouched by everything that happens in these layers. And so regardless what comes up in the journey, right, in this journey back to the self, regardless what comes up, it is important to remember that this is not you, right? Regardless what, and everyone has had these types of experiences, negative experiences, right, that have created certain thought patterns and certain world views. And it's important, it's so, so important to remember that this is not you. This is something that has happened in the past that the mind has held on to and created associations and kept memories and kept stored emotions. And it's beautiful is that you can let it all go at any moment. You can let go of all of these things, and you can work with the body as well, you know, and a way to know that if you have these types of energies, stale energies stored in your body, is by observing your body, right? If there's stiffness in the body, if there's stiffness in the shoulders, the hips, even the mind, if there's stiffness in the mind, this is some blockage, right? You're holding on to something that is not you, right? It's something that you've deeply, deeply associated with because it happened to you at some point in time. And you're still holding on to it. You're allowing it to color your experience of life. And I remember feeling that, you know, the world is a cruel place. Like, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about what I want. And all the things that I want for my life. They just want me to work. They want my energy. They want my money. They want my time, my attention, my resources, just everything. And now, you know, having gone through this transformative journey and this deep dive into the world of yoga and meditation and breath work, which is really a deep dive into myself, my entire worldview has changed, right? And along with that, to kind of, you know, go full circle, my relationship with myself has also changed. Because, you know, sitting here at the top, you know, seeking fulfillment outward, I'm not going to find anything. Really, where I needed to go was inward. I needed to connect with myself down here. And so, you know, working through these traumas, working through these pains, these stresses, these experiences is what helps you to free yourself. It doesn't just help you free yourself. It frees you. It frees you from all of these things that are limiting your experience of the world, right? The world is infinite. Your inner world and your outer world are infinite. Your experiences are infinite. And we've limited them, right? I mean, we stay in the same place. We have the same routine. We see the same people every single day. We go sit in the same places. We watch the same things. We eat the same things. I mean, the world is, it's incredible, right? And by doing the same things, we're limiting so much of what we can experience. And then, and not taking responsibility, right? Taking responsibility is the thing that will allow you to change, right? It's just like what I was saying in the beginning, is that sure, somebody may have done something to you. Okay, like this happened, it wasn't great, it wasn't a great time, and it led to a bunch of things. But taking that responsibility and saying, okay, it happened, but I decided to keep these emotions with me, that gives you the power of releasing them, right? That gives you the power to reconnect with yourself, to get over this hatred of yourself and this self-blame and this self-doubt and this anxiety, this depression, all of the things that come with it. I mean, it is painful. I'm not going to say it's not painful to take that responsibility and take it in stride and keep moving. And oftentimes we don't want to, but ultimately that's what's going to free you, right? Rising above the happenings, rising above the events of the world and saying, okay, it happened. Let it be. Let me be free from now on.
Yeah. In A Course in Miracles, it describes that as being above the battleground. And anyways, so yeah, there's maybe someone would like to ask a question before we continue, and then we're coming close to wrapping up, as you know, by the time. So anyone want to ask a question or comment or share something?
Hi, thank you for this discussion. You know, I will comment that you just are so joyful. You know, it just seems so genuine and uplifting. You know, I really believe that you're practicing all these things that you're talking about. My question is, trajectory of emotions. You know, how do you, you know, when things happen, when negative things happen around you, and you start to get pulled into it, what are your strategies of going back to center?
A really, really good question, because this happens all the time, right? Things are always going to happen, good and bad. So the important thing is to be aware of them. And so once you can become aware of, oh, look, there's anger rising up in me, you've already separated yourself from that emotion. And so the key here is to not become the emotion, to not identify with it, to not say like, I am an anxious person. No, I have some anxiety rising up in this moment in time. And so how do you raise your awareness? This is where your practices come into play, right? One of my teachers very, very beautifully said that, Parm, you cannot dig a well when the house is already on fire. You need to dig the well before the house is on fire. And in this context, what that means is that when these anxieties arise, that's not the time to start to try to find a practice. That practice, that depth and that inner stability needs to be, you need to constantly work on it, right? So whether you meditate, whether you pray, whether you chant, whether you practice yoga, whether you do breath work, whatever your practices may be, if you do them on a regular basis, you'll start to see that inside you're building a base of stability and of peace and of balance. And then when the emotions come, you'll have a place to go. You'll have a place to go and sit and observe and just let them pass through you. because that is the reality, right? Thoughts and emotions will come and pass through you, and sometimes they may feel like a storm. But if you can sit back, if you can lean into your practices and the comfort that they have brought you, then that storm will come and it will go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, this is getting really deep. So maybe we want to have some, one more thing that we talk about. What does it mean to accept this depth in yourself? What is that? And what does that mean to you? Because you've been sharing a lot about it, how it's changed your life, it's changed your way of seeing the world and so on. But it also has a very personal meaning. And maybe you would like to share that.
Yeah, so in this journey, it's about, I mean, in this journey, I have faced so many, I mean, it has been a real roller coaster, and accepting, you know, the steps to yourself, accepting every single part of you is really about embracing everything, right? And embracing the traumas, embracing the stresses, and embracing the parts of you that you think are ugly and nobody wants to see, right? It's about embracing those parts that you feel are weak and that you try to hide all the time, and letting them be, right? Because they're not actually, I mean, that is your perception again, right? And so on the journey of life, you know, we're fractured in so many different parts, right? We try to play so many roles. We put on so many different masks. We try to be who we think we're supposed to be without ever really looking at who we want to be, right? What is that voice inside saying? Is it feeling vulnerable? Does it need some love? Do you want to be by yourself? Do you not want to go to that event? Do you not want to do this? Not want to spend time with that person, even though you're supposed to? And so to me, what it means to embrace every single part of yourself and every single part of this journey is to do the uncomfortable things, right? Be with yourself when you need that from yourself, right? If you need, so one of the things for me, I mean, I don't consider myself to be a very egotistical person, but in the beginning of my journey, I really had a hard time bowing down to someone else and saying, okay, you are greater than me, you know more than me, let me be at your feet and let me listen, right? Something that they say a lot is, you know, at the lotus feet of the guru, of the master. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I don't know about that. But so I had this whole complex. And so embracing that as well, right? Looking at that desire not to bow down, that too is coming from something, right? And so really sitting with every single part of me and then looking at it with compassion and love instead of kind of dismissing, like, oh, you know, I'm stupid to think that, or I shouldn't think that, or blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's so many things that will come up in this journey, so many things, whether that's from inside of you, outside of you. You have to let go of things that you really, really love to reach something higher. You know, these are the types of things that you're going to face, and these are the types of things that you need to embrace, right? And realize that they are a part of your journey. So embracing every step of that journey. There was a really beautiful example of part of a show that I used to watch. And so what he was, so Avatar the Last Airbender was a cartoon show, but it was really deep in these spiritual sciences with some of the ideas and concepts that they brought up. And one of them, in one episode, he went to a yogi to help him clear his chakras. And what he found when he was approaching the crown chakra is that what stood in between him and this state of all pervading being was the love of his life, right? So he had a choice to make. Does he want to stay in the worldly experience of life, or does he want to experience it from a divine perspective? And so these are the types of choices, right? Of I would say that surrender really is key. Like, there's so many bits of this, and just surrendering to not knowing the answers, right? Not knowing what's coming next, and not holding on to people or situations, regardless of how much we may love them or how much we may think that we love them. It's really embracing the insecurity, the vulnerability, and having faith that you are on the right track, that you're being taken care of. And this is what it means to me, you know, embracing the unknown and allowing yourself to do the things that you never thought you would do with the faith that they will take you to where you want to go.
Thank you. That's really helpful to hear what it means to you. So now that we're wrapping up, how can one reach you if one wants to reach you? And you'll give me the link so I can put it in the show notes afterwards. But anyways, how can one reach you?
So I do have a website, parmsyoga.com, P-A-R-M-S, yoga.com. You can find me there. I am also very active on Instagram, and that's also my handle, at parmsyoga. So the same thing, P-A-R-M-S, yoga.
Wonderful. Now let's thank our listeners and participants and everyone who will be receiving our transmissions here, our broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us in this journey of self-discovery. And thank you so much for everything you do to spread the word about the podcast, to share the ideas, to integrate them if they feel good to you. And yeah, we wish you all the very best. And please, like always, review the podcast, spread the word, and subscribe if you feel drawn to it, so that more people can profit from what is being shared here. Thank you so much for being here, Parm. You might want to address our listeners before we end the recording.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you all for opening your hearts and your minds to this practice that is a blessing in disguise, that nobody really knows what it is. And so really giving it an opportunity as well, and allowing it to work its magic in your life. You know, I want to thank you so much for listening and for lending me your ear and your time and, you know, the space in your heart. Thank you so much.
So I wish you all the very best, and till next time.